favor, say aye.
Aye.
If you don't like it, say no. Approval of the minutes.
Everybody read those.
I make the motion to approve the minutes as written.
Okay, Steve makes a motion to approve as written. I hear a second.
I'll second.
Seconds it. Do I hear any comments? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All the same sign. Public comment and communication. We have no public comment.
I mean, I have public hearing comments further down as well.
All right. Hearing none, we'll move on to number six, advocacy reports or activities.
None of us have very good memories.
Too much information.
We know Walsh really wasn't there. I know that.
So I'm innocent.
We can't blame her.
One of the things we talked about was, you know, what's going to happen with the ERC, because that's not all filtered out yet.
Legislative-wise,
it's still being discussed. Can you think of anything?
Think of what? What did they discuss?
No.
You need something up. I can't even. All I got is regional board on that day.
Well, if I remember right, even Mary didn't have a good active agenda.
Yeah,
she didn't have a lot of
like
things.
That. There wasn't a lot going on.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to take.
Can we remember anything, guys, that went on from that meeting?
And essentially, the ADRCs have been left intact. I think probably that was most of it. It was kind of a legislative update. There are still issues, you know, that we don't know what they may look like in the future. But definitely going to be more standardization and things like that happening within the ADRCs. We do know that.
They were looking for duplication, right? And sometimes we think we're not duplicating services much at all.
Right. Their concern was that we were duplicating services with economic support.
Is that the functional screen, too?
The functional screen is what we do. We do the functional side of eligibility for long-term care, and that's the functional screen, determining if people have a non-nursing home level of care or nursing home level of care, and then ES does the financial side. But legislators don't always know all that, and it all kind of gets thrown in together, and they think we're all doing the same thing, and we're just duplicating services. So they also think, you know, before all this started, they also thought, couldn't ADRCs just be a call center? So what's going to come out of this for us, I think, is just, and I know this by the ADRC director's call I just had too, is that we're going to see a lot more outcomes-based things in our contract. We're going to have to show more outcomes, show more accountability, show more financial savings to the state, you know, prove our worth, essentially. But, you know, that's not bad stuff either. So I feel like when you get federal and state money, you should be able to prove your worth, or you probably shouldn't be around. So we'll be looking at that. But I definitely think we're going to see really things more spelled out in the contract. And there'll be already we know some things they're going to want to be tracking, like our INA's time and things like that. They're going to want to be we've never had to ask people necessarily their birth dates when they've called in, but now we're going to be doing more of that name and birth date, because they're going to be looking at, if we're working with this participant, and say we started in 2015 and that participant didn't go into the nursing home until maybe 2018, they're going to look at that and see if our services prevented that from happening for so many years and what the cost savings might be. I think you'll see things, scenarios more like that coming out of that, which is good information to know. So it'll be interesting to see how they how they actually track those statistics, though, because as you know, statistics can be manipulated. But
aren't we going to have to prove more paperwork
the paperwork's not going to get less from what
well,
I can
read. Well, it very rarely does.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, hopefully we'll have a better database system at some point that will be able to track some of that as well. So, really just looking at standardization and staying, you know, legislatively active, keeping our legislators informed about what it is we're doing, because I think it was a real wake-up call to ADRCs around the state that legislators really weren't very familiar with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they really are, at least ours around here, already know for a fact. So I think that, but that's a plus side. So we've even been fielding calls. I know Mary's fielded several calls from legislators now that have had constituents call them and they've referred them back to the ADRC. So they know us, and that's a good thing. So, yeah.
With the Affordable Care Act, so all these Republicans running right now, how does the ADRC do we do anything with steering people?
Other than just, you know, explaining the process and how they would apply, how they would get, or explaining the law to them, giving them some information on, you know, the fact that they do need to have health insurance, what that is, and how to apply for it. We can, you know, if need be, we can walk somebody through that process, but for the most part, that process originates kind of with economic support here in Grant County. We do not as much of that health insurance stuff as economic support does, but we can provide them information on that. So,
do you anticipate changes in the medical program in 2016?
Through Medicaid, or Medicaid,
Part D, you know,
eventually we could see changes coming down, but everything that kind of was proposed and that they wanted to do, a lot of that's going to require waivers from the federal government. They've got to get Medicaid waivers to implement some of the things that they would want to do with the integrated health providers. I mean, we're fully expecting that still to move along. So
I just wonder of these people that we know that need help are on the lower economic status. So where are they going to look with all these two changes start to materialize?
I mean, that will be our job to keep people informed. You know, that's part of our job as well, is to make sure that people understand what's happening at the state and federal level and how they know how to contact people and to keep that.
Yeah, because right now everybody's bashing that nicely. You know, as to whether anything takes place or not. But as I talk to some of your older people, they're very concerned.
I don't blame them. And the fact is the state people don't know any more than they do, because really, until things get moved or waivers get applied for, the state is in kind of a limbo right now, too. I mean, we've asked questions at the directors' meetings. They just kind of come back with, we don't know yet, you know. What are these integrated health providers going to look like, and how many of them they're going to be? And the answer is always, we don't know. But our MC, you know, are the managed care organizations such as Continuum is probably going to change? Probably. It seems like the integrated health providers are going to come in. Is IRIS going to change? Probably. And I don't know how all that will play out. Is IRIS going to still be here? And a self-directed program will be here. I don't know whether it will be IRIS. So we don't know how many integrated health providers there could be. There could be one for the whole state. There could be several. One of the things that came out that was, I think it's in the new Medicaid rules, was there was some concern around ADRCs contracting, like currently with like the MCOs, which is ours is Continuous, which we do. You know, we contract with them, we provide transportation for them, so we are a provider for them. And so there was some talk about that being a conflict of interest. So the state was trying to look at that, because they know fully well the state's been moving ahead with integrating aging units and ADRCs. And all the aging units are typically the ones that run the transportation programs and that would be doing this. And they want this integration, but now this is kind of like throwing a little red flag. Well, how would they do that? So I think, again, we'll see some language down the line that says, you know, you can do this, but you can't do that, and it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. The other thing that came out of our discussion yesterday with the state is that our information and assistance specialists, when they are doing long-term care counseling with somebody, so if they're enrolling somebody into long-term care and they're picking IRIS over continuous or picking continuous over IRIS right now, they're going to want them to put in, or we think that's coming anyway, why that participant made that decision. Because we can't tell people, here's what we think is your best option. We can provide them the options and say, you need to pick. But they want that final decision, which tells me, once again, they want to make sure that we're not funneling everybody one way or the other. Because there was big rumors during this whole process that we directed more people to IRIS than to family care, which was neither here nor there. But I think more importantly, they don't want to say, well, I've got this contract with continuous, so we're gonna send them all that way. And that's not happening. So we're going to have to, again, provide much more documentation on why options were selected. And I think there, again, it goes to if we have different integrated health providers serving the whole state, they want to know why one was chosen over others. So.
What do you mean by continuous?
Continuous is family care. Okay. So the managed care organizations, you hear them three ways, really. It's either MCOs, which are the managed care organizations, and then family care is basically what they provide, and then but they are continuous. Their actual name, the only MCO that we have out here, managed care organization that provides long term care services, is continuous. There are some areas in the state that have more than one, but we only have the one. So. And then there's IRIS, and IRIS is the self directed one.
And aren't they telling that some of those private ones can get in on some of this?
Yeah, we don't know what those integrated health providers will look like because. And nobody seems to be able to tell us much about that. I think they look like the insurance companies.
That's what they are. Mm-hmm. That's what they'll
yeah.
do.
That's what they'll do. Private insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
That will take, the government money
mm-hmm.
and
provide services.
Provide services.
Yes. That's where they're talking about going. That's how it will be.
Well, if they go that way, I sure hope that they do the same oversight on them that they do on ADRCs and county and state, you know, because always private
right,
gets
yeah.
less oversight.
Right, yeah.
That's wrong.
But private's so much better, Jane. You don't know that?
Well, they got to make a profit, so
they're
going to
run like the WEDC.
They take a big cut. Yeah, they do.
We'll tell you later how
I think
doing.
The good news is we survived a very big battle at the get-go because we could have been wrong. I mean, the way it was kind of written out, we could have.
You know, I think our elderly population came to
yeah.
the forefront here and
yeah.
had really had a lot of help from this. Otherwise, they're left in limbo. I mean, you know, I just kind of even sometimes watch television, these ads, and it's always go to somethingrather.com or go sit here and, you know, all these people don't even have a computer.
Right.
Or
can't
if they have one, they're not sure how to use
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's the only communication. So if they have a phone number to hear,
right.
yeah.
somebody
yeah.
can at least
human being.
Help them along. Or, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing else at our regional board
well,
meeting?
Well, there's a lot of mail coming through, though, to the private. You get gobs of mail. I'm sure
it's only
going to
get worse.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I have a wish for your basket outside. They need to make it in the house.
That's a good idea. Right under the mailbox.
Do I know you? Nope.
Yeah.
It's okay. Public hearing comments.
Okay. Well, we did have a public hearing on August 13th, and I had a participant come, which is I've literally increased 100% of my participants in the last 2 years because. We've had zero before.
Yeah,
so.
I get that statistic in there.
So I was pretty happy. We had one lady from Lancaster call, and she was very insightful and very good. I kind of enjoyed her. So her comments was that the transportation to medical appointments, especially medical appointments outside of town, was very much needed. She's very appreciative of that service because it's very much a needed service for her.
So she utilizes
it. She drives, but she can't always, you know, she can't drive to those Madison lacrosse visits, she said. So But she was still driving because she was going to Galena for the weekend. She was telling me that. And she was trying to convince me to go to Ma's Bakery the next day for $2 lunch.
I bet I know who it is.
Yeah, I think I know who it is.
I bet you know who it is. Yes, I bet you do too.
She drives a little
blue truck. Everybody knows that. She told me too. She said, because Randy said that to her, and she goes, you know what? I'm going to have to get rid of that truck. Everybody knows.
Look after her. She could have a very good article in the paper.
Oh, yes.
I've heard that too.
Were there any repercussions at all from some of the hospitals and from anybody who said we weren't in the hall?
We haven't heard anything yet, no. I haven't really heard much from hospitals at all. So, again, she talked about taxi services being needed as well, too. And the fact that, you know, eventually she thinks we could maybe be in Lancaster more than 2 days a week, which, yeah, I get. And then just talking about some of the services she's utilized in town, which was the senior center, the diabetic educational services at the hospital. But she likes Ma's Bakery, so she thinks that'd be great for home delivered meals.
She has taken our classes, too.
Okay.
She has taken her classes.
And then, you know, her biggest fear right now for the future was keeping her insurance, she said. You know, she said her family's wanting her to look at different housing options, but everything is predicated on making sure that she has, you know, her insurance in place. And so we talked a little bit about that as well. And that's a real fear for her, even though that, you know, I was trying to, you know, say, you know, she's probably going to be eligible anyway. But that was a real fear for her. And that, I think that goes hand in hand with a lot of people, that they're very concerned what's going to happen. And so
it just seems like everybody wants to push them off, and some of these people are living on virtually nothing.
So we ended up having her actually, Alicia came in and met with her, so she ended up meeting with one of our staff just to talk about other programs. And so it was very nice. I mean, at least she came. I give her credit.
She is
least,
knowledgeable,
you know,
though. She tries to stay there. She doesn't like it, she'll tell you.
Yeah, I gathered that. But she seemed to be very aware of what was happening and really used some of the services around. So I was happy to hear that. So yeah, that was my one participant. Like they said, it was one.
Any other comments on that?
And we did not get any written comments either. I got one phone call, but he basically just wanted to know what the aging plan was, and so I explained that to him, and then I asked him if he had any comments on it, and he didn't. So he said, no, I just want to know what it was. Okay,
on to number 8, 2016 to 19 aging.
So the aging plan draft is due along with budgets September 1st, and what we have to generally do is we send in a draft plan and a draft budget to GWAR, which is our agency for Older American Funds. It's where we get all our Older American Act funds. So rather than bring in the whole thing, the aging plan looks at demographics around here in Grant County. It looks at if we have to provide all the services that we provide in it, and the staff, and what we do with the organization of it, and all of that. And then we have to set some goals. And basically, the drift of it is the goals. And they actually, as I talked about in past meetings, GWAR actually determines the focus areas that we had to set the goals in. So the focus areas were involvement of older people in aging-related program development and planning, the elder nutrition program, services in support of caregivers, services to people with dementia. Those were the areas.
In that healthy aging down there, are you still looking for everyone that's living well with chronic disease?
But it's not. It's not on my goal right now. Am I missing that on here, or is it in here?
It's not in here. The other two are on here, but
I'm just looking at that. We're having computer issues this morning. I don't know if that printed. Right. I think I might be missing something. I apologize for that. Hang on. And healthy aging was the other one. I don't know why that's not on my goal sheets, though. Well, word kept not responding this morning, and we kept having to reboot. So between Crystal and I, we couldn't get anything. But I'll talk about what the goals are there.
Okay.
So I gave you the executive summary, which basically just kind of goes over the goals, too, and then you have some, and I'll get the other one as well. So in terms of involving older people and aging-related program development and planning, and they basically kind of helped us form some of these goals at one of the meetings as well. So a big thing right now is informing older adults about their rights and duties regarding the voter ID materials that they, you know, will need to have. So we will be doing that in 2016. We've actually already started that a little bit because Linda has provided us with some materials. So we've actually got a poster already up, so we're kind of ahead of the game there. But we'll make sure, again, that those materials are out in all of our real sites and things like that. In 2017, again, we're just looking at making sure that our participants, the people that we work with, know how to reach their legislators, know what their issues are, can self-advocate for themselves, and know how to contact those legislators. So we'll be doing that through some articles in the paper. And then we also will be doing some listening sessions in at least two areas of the county because I would like to do some strategic planning. I'd actually like to do that before 2018, but I needed goals in 2018. So if I put it in 2018 and I move it up, we're good to go. So in 2018, as far as that goes, then we would, we're going to be developing, we did a short project improvement with comment cards, and we're going to refine that a little bit, and we're going to be doing some more surveys and comment cards in the future with customers to improve customer service. And then, again, I will be seeking some representation from some of our participants that we work with to serve on the strategic plan committee. So in terms of nutrition, again, one of the things that we found out this past year was with some of the sites that have an integrated ADRC and an aging unit, as we do, the information and assistance staff have been conducting some of the home-delivered meal assessments. Anybody who gets a home-delivered meal service from us has to have an initial home-delivered assessment and then annually have one, just to make sure that first of all, services are still necessary, that they're still meeting the qualifications of being a home-delivered participant. And then also just to a kind of a contact with them to make sure that there's not other services they might be in need of. So in past years, we've been told that the information and assistance staff really couldn't do that. But then as we talked with different programs, we found out that many were. And at the ADRC conference that we went to in La Crosse, Mary Lou, Carrie Mulkey, who's the head of the Bureau for Aging and Disability Services, actually was part of that discussion and promoted that. So
it seems like a good time to do it.
I was happy that she did, because the one thing nice is these people are typically isolated. They're in their own homes. So by having INA staff come in, we can also have them talk a little bit about ADRC services that they might not even realize they could be eligible for or need information from. So we can bring them a little bit of outreach materials on ADRC while doing the home-delivered assessment, too. But again, to make sure that we are standardizing everything, Ruth, who is our current person doing those home-delivered assessments, will be providing training to all of information and assistance specialist staff next year on how to do those so that everybody's clear on that. One of the things we're also trying to do is, again, to create some expected standards of service and standard operating procedures for the meal site managers because there's just nothing, there's bits and pieces of things, and over the years it's just kind of got certain people know certain things, so we're going to pull it all together in a manual for them and provide them some training on that. So kind of, again, everybody's on the same page, everybody's consistent in terms of what quality means. So we'll be also doing that in 2017 with our home delivered routes and our volunteers. Again, we want to make sure that everybody understands that with volunteers especially, we want them to know what to look for, you know, what types of things might, what things that they might observe that might make a participant, you know, be at risk that they should report, you know. And we do some of that training right now, but we just want to standardize it, so. And then 2018, again, going back to that strategic plan, which I really do hope to do earlier, and again, continuing to work with the state on the revitalization and figuring out, just not seeing really fabulous things come out of the state revitalization yet, so I'm kind of on hold there because I don't want to just waste money to try things, but nobody's coming up with anything really fantastic just yet, so. Then in terms of support for caregivers, we would be offering a powerful tools class for caregivers. Ruth does that usually in collaboration with somebody from the Dementia Alliance. We usually offer that once a year, we try to. Also, we would be looking at, we're going to try to get more information. What typically we find is people don't see themselves as a family caregiver. They're just a daughter, or they're just an aunt, or they're just somebody who's taking care of somebody they know, but they don't really see it in terms of caregiving. So we're trying to get more information out there about that and education and how that stress can build on you. So we're going to, we've been trying to get more out there on Facebook. Because we do know that the demographic of the early, late 50s, early 60s through the 60s is there's a fair number of them on Facebook. So we're going to try to get more information out on that through social media. And then we would also be providing transportation and funding to attend the Caregiver Renewal Day. We try to do that every year as well. That's a really nice day for caregivers. In 2017 then, kind of the same thing, but we also want to reach out to some Grant County employers, at least like four major employers, because employers are going to start to see caregiving issues as a big problem. As this population ages and gets older and older, they're going to see more and more employees struggling to maintain a balance of having to work and care for an elderly parent. It's just, you know, I've done it, so I know. And it's hard. And not everybody has flexible, friendly policies that allow, you know, staff to have that. And, you know, you've got to take your mother to the doctor. She can't get there, and you don't have the resources to get her there. How does she get there? So we want to talk to at least four major employers, to see what their interests and needs might be in having us develop some educational materials for their employers, for employees, or to do some like lunch and learn with their employees.
You know what for?
I don't. I think we'll just kind of, you know, play that by ear. What I'm thinking is we'll send something out to a lot more than four. If we get four, we'll be lucky. So, yeah. And then again, we'll follow up that in 2018 by actually developing some of those presentations and disseminating some of those materials. And then services to people with dementia. These are really Whitney's goals in terms of this, because Whitney is our regional dementia. So in the region, each county will have the same goals in terms of services to people with dementia, because these are coming through our dementia care specialist. So she'll be offering the virtual tour in Grant County in 2016, and holding regular meetings to develop strategies on becoming more dementia-friendly within the county government as well as the county itself. She'll be expanding that training to current employees. And then in 2018, she'll be, they're looking to host maybe like a film festival or some type of event that would kind of promote memory screens and give some information on dementia. And I don't know exactly where my other two are, but I'll speak to healthy aging. Healthy aging goals are looking at getting somebody trained in stepping on living well, and I do want to get someone trained in living well with chronic conditions too. But as far as the goals, we're going to focus on stepping on because it's always popular and needed. And probably within the goals itself, we're going to focus on living well with diabetes.
Well, chronic disease is in
it. It is. And it seems like that's kind of the way it's going. So I didn't put chronic conditions. That doesn't mean that we won't offer chronic conditions. It just means I didn't want to thoroughly commit to it.
To train them.
Yeah. So we would be looking at those all 3 years and providing that. The other goals in there is to meet with, again, with Grant Regional's on board with this pretty well. We'd like to meet with Southwest Health Center and Boscobel Gunderson to promote these programs as well with their, get kind of a referral network set up with them, because Grant Regional is very good about that with us. And maybe even pulling them on board as a partner. So those would be the main goals. And then the other thing would be is to send staff to the Healthy Aging Summit, staff or volunteers, so they can, again, bring that information to us. And then in terms of the local focus areas, it's implementing Lean. Again, we want to implement a Lean project pretty much every year. The first year, we would be looking at a new project. Right now, we're doing Part D, so we'll try to do a new project next year. And that will be dependent on, I guess, what we think the staff will kind of see where we think our issues are, because we've done quite a bit. In 2017, I really wanted to delve into the computer. Crystal and I have both tried to work on our server, our drives on our computer, because we just, you know, they're a mess. I mean, they go back. You know, people save everything forever, and they just need to be cleaned up. And when we were in our Lean classes, we got a little 5S, which is the sort. I can't do it all now. You sort and classify and clean it up. And they have one for computers and how to organize your computer files in a much more organized way that's leaner, more efficient, whatever. So. And everybody in here has a copy of that. So my goal for 2017 is that people will take a look at their own computers and clean them up, and we'll clean up the main drive that we have here so that we're not having to look through, you know, 20 million things when we're finding things. We've done a lot better. It's better than it was by far. But, you know, we just haven't had the time to look at that so much. So that'll be a focus for 2017.
I have a question on the Part D now. Are we going to, if I remember right, last year, about 2 days after they could do anything, we were full here.
Yeah, and it'll be the same way because we only have
one
limited staff.
We've got volunteers,
yeah.
Though.
We don't have many. We're working on that right now, but, I mean, you know, one person in Grant County for everybody here isn't really sufficient.
That all takes place when again? October
through December 15th. The problem is that the plan finder always has glitches and things always have glitches the first 2 weeks. And so we try not to schedule too much within those first 2 weeks because usually it's just an exercise in frustration because nothing works right within the system. So they try to schedule out that first 2 weeks and let them work through the quirk. You'd think by now it wouldn't be rocket science that they could launch that database year after year and have it work correctly, but for some reason, I think part of it is there's things that go in, there's things that come out, and it.
So in September, our people should be hearing from their insurance companies as to changes.
I believe so. Yes. And I can have Marcia come in and speak on that next month if you would like some more information on that. We can have her be part of that agenda.
Well, I get called on it. I mean,
that's
something I hear a lot.
You know, the fact is we don't really need necessarily probably extra EBS any other time of year than that. But you can't. It is so labor intensive to train somebody in that you can't, you know. So we are working through that system to try to figure out how we can provide as much bang for our buck. But the reality is we only have so many appointments we can provide. You know, and there are other places. People do have a hotline that they can call, the Medigap hotline. There are some things. Plan Finder is not that difficult if somebody has some knowledge of the computer. So we're going to try to hopefully, you know, walk people through some of that as well. Or possibly have some computers here that people could come in and do, and then if they had an issue with it, they would have somebody that they could at least talk to kind of say, okay, I've got a glitch here, what do I do?
When I look at the IDs needed for voting, are we going to provide any, I mean, some of our people can't get over to Platteville to even get this ID when they're open 2 days a week from here to here.
And then don't the IDs come from out of state or something? Or like driver's licenses come from out of state?
They don't
come from.
I mean, can we? Should we?
We can look at it. I mean, we are offering services right now to Platteville. So, I mean, our bus services provide service to Platteville.
Just a specific one to the.
And I don't know that it has to be. I should go pull the brochure because I can't remember now. But I don't even think it has to have like your current address on it, though. It just has to show picture ID. Because I actually think I read that. We have the poster hanging up in there. So I'm kind of thinking for some people, even though the license might have expired, if they had one, I think they could still use it because it still stated who they were. I could be wrong about that, but I think.
I mean, I can just tell as this gets closer, it's just going to fall.
Yeah, and that's why we want to get word out to them on that. And like I said, Linda's been providing this. Linda Gephardt, our county clerk, has been providing us the materials for that. So, so we will be getting the word out. And I can maybe see, I can provide more information next month on what that looks like. Because I read through it, but I read through it about 3 weeks ago, and quite frankly, my mind isn't that good. So
just don't get any better.
You know, I just wonder, as you're making those trips to Platteville, one of them would just say, you know, we need a voter ID.
Right.
We will make a stop.
Right, and actually, we could actually publish that within the paper, too, then, yeah. And because, we absolutely can make those stops, so. So back to the aging plan, basically those, like on the executive summary, those are the focus area, those are the goals. Do you have any comments regarding the goals? Do you think, you know, I kind of laughed. I was stalking other counties to see, you know, I've never written an aging plan, so the best thing I do is go and look at other people's aging plans and see what they wrote. And I actually had a lot more goals than I took some out because I felt compared to other counties, we were being a little too overambitious. I didn't want to overcommit, so I took some out. But I do think in terms of the services that we're providing here, I think they are legit. I do think we seriously have to do some strategic planning down the line here. I've done some, you know, quite a bit in the past in my other life. Right now, we're getting kind of systems, more efficient processes worked on. And once we get that in order, then I'd like to start really looking down the line as, you know, I think really transportation and nutrition are two areas that we need to look at far out, what do we want to look at. And given the fact that there could be some things coming with transportation if Medicaid rules, you know, don't allow us to do some things, then that's a serious issue that we'd have to look at as well, so. So I'm hoping to get to that maybe sooner than 2018.
Anyone have any questions on those?
The other thing is these have an opportunity. You look at these every year, so for the next 3 years you have an opportunity, and we have an opportunity to revise them and amend them every year. So if something should come up that we feel is much more important than, say, something else on here, we can amend it or stay next year. Or if you feel like we're missing something, I know the chronic conditions is, you know, and like I said, I just didn't put it in there because I feel like the diabetes one is really kind of one that's getting pushed out in the forefront right now. We want to make sure that we absolutely get that one off.
Any questions? You don't need to vote on this, or just
I would ask for a motion to at least pass the draft.
send it past the draft.
Sure.
I heard Stephen Shirley again. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You don't like it? Say no. All right, budget update.
I am been working on budgets for pretty much ever, it feels like, recently. But we've had one department head meeting. We've got another one scheduled next week that I'm not going to be at, so I've got everything to Nancy. Right now, originally when we started budgets, we still had a 1.5% increase in the budgets. However, I feel after the department head meeting next week that might be gone. So I did send Nancy a revised budget with 1.5% increase and then a no increase budget as well next to it, so that she'll have that information at that meeting. Do you want to talk about what's happening in Cassville?
What's happening where?
No, I learned a whole lot yesterday too.
Well, the Cassville power plant
closing.
Both of them.
And Senator Markham came to the county board meeting last night. Louise Ketter, treasurer, Nancy Scott, and I went to Cassville yesterday to meet with Travis Howard and the village board, basically. It's going to cost the county $258,000 worth of revenue that comes back through shared aid because of the closings. It's going to cost the village of Cassville $552,000. That's half of their operating budget. The hope is that the Fiscal Bureau is telling Howard one thing, that the payments in utility aid lag production, so that means that what's produced in 2015, you get that payment in 16. The Department of Revenue says no. If they do not produce in 16, you do not get a payment in 16. So that's one of the things that has to be conquered. The other thing is that when you decommission a wind site or a nuclear plant, it's phased out over 5 years. So the first year you still get 80%, the second year you get 60% in 5 years. Decommissioning of coal and biomass is
immediately.
So they're going to try to change legislation within the next 2 or 3 months to help that, because there is one in Beloit and the nuclear plant that came on for being dealt with right now. So the other thing that Howard threw out there, and he didn't share last night, probably shouldn't share what I'm going to, is that there are very few municipalities in the state of Wisconsin that have two plants in one community. And maybe they can take some executive action because it's hitting both at the same time.
Yeah.
Because the hit to Grant County is $123,000 on Stoneman and $155,000 on. So it is proportional. And because of the ages of the plant, one is on capacity and one is on value. So it's really a mess.
So they have to go, it was my understanding from people down there, they're going to have to reevaluate what their taxes are.
It could be. It's up in the air right now. Because they pay, the total levy in Cassville is $311,000. So to make up for that $552,000, your taxes would be 2.5 times what they are today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because there's no way that those plants are ever going to be valued at what they're really worth today. Producing the electricity, the DTE site was valued 5 years ago when it started up again at $34 million. But they'd never get $34 million on that building. You know, it might be worth $2 million on the tax roll. Yeah. And then it creates another issue for the school district, too, because as valuation goes up, state aid goes down.
Yeah.
It's kind of a push, but still, it's
so
really...
So who are the people getting their power from then? It'd be a client or somebody, whoever's in the area now.
Yeah.
It's our folks, whoever gets
they'll backfeed it.
Yeah, sure.
The other issue is the number of jobs that will be lost down there. And those are well-paying jobs.
How many employees do they have?
I think there's 75 at Alliant and 20 or something like that.
I mean, I remember when Bass Transformer closed, and that was 600 and something.
Yeah.
But that was set, okay, we're going to gradually over a long period of time, so it worked out fine. But they're just all
the other inside track on this is that Alliant won't share any information.
Sure.
They've been trying to sell the facility for over 2 years. They have it limited now to 3 different suitors, but they won't say who it is or what it might be. You know, if it was a manufacturing facility that would employ 150,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, sure.
Even if it's less wages, it's still that much more money for the community.
Is that building as such that it could be an industry?
Not really.
Usually they're kind of specialized,
yeah,
and they don't work.
It's a power plant.
It's a power plant, yeah, that's right.
You know, if they were realistic about the sale of the property, just because of the transportation opportunities, you know, because it has barge docking at both facilities, they have railroad at both facilities, and the highway structure is decent going to Caswell. That's what Ron Brisbois had pushed for a couple of years to make the Alliant an intermodal, you know, make it a barge loading for grain. But Alliant doesn't seem to want to play. They just do not want competition.
We're WPPI down there, but that's worked out well with them.
So in terms of our budget, what happens, like I said, we've had one department head meeting, and really the department heads just basically come together, talk about what their budgets look like, you know, how much levy is involved in that, any one-time expenses they might need, trying to figure that out. We sort of do a list and look at how short we are, and we were already at that point probably a little over about 229 short, I think, but there were some possibilities of looking at our insurance and deductibles and things like that, and we thought we might come out ahead, so that was kind of good news until Casco Power Plant came along, and then it was back to bad news. So they will be meeting again next week to discuss that. In terms of our budget, I don't think we're sitting too bad. Our biggest we've had an increase in our ADOC budget, but that's because the regional office asked me to write in for a full-time prevention person. We don't know whether that will keep, but that doesn't take any levy money. That's all ADOC state money. And whether they'll keep that built into the budget or not, our regional managers will be meeting about that. So the rest of it, we would be looking at an increase in levy, but I think we can offset that with our carryovers. So I think we'll be okay, probably for the most part. And we're not asking for any one-time expenses. We don't have any big public property requests other than a new building, but that's not on the table, so we leave that off. Yeah, that's just out there. That's a future wish.
We don't need a building. We just need to move.
Yeah.
How much is insurance going up in those types of things?
Health insurance. We were figuring about a 10% increase. The first quotes were higher, and then Nancy had to revise it to about 10%. But one of the things that the county was looking at was raising the deductibles, but not raising them necessarily for employees, that the county might assume that higher deductible.
We use the health reimbursement plan. So right now, the county provides health insurance at $2,000 and $4,000 deductible, but the county picks up $1,500 and $3,500.
Oh, that's good. So it's only $500.
And then if you don't use your initial part of that, we'll roll that over so that you can build a reimbursement plan for yourself. And what we're looking at, because of the experience mods that we've built, and the county would have to assume more risk, but we can jump that from 2 and 4 to 5 and 10. And we were looking at saving $827,000 in premiums. But the assumed risk for that pickup between 2 and 4 was about $500,000. But we were still saving $322,000. But once we did that, then the insurance companies start playing the games again.
So.
Yeah. I don't know where that now. Like Lori said, they started out originally at, I think, 11% and 14%,
yeah.
And then they both said, well, no, we'll be back down to a 10% raise. So, and they don't come up with actual figures until after 1st of August. Actually, one company came back yesterday. The other one will probably be back next week.
And the issue we've always had up here is we're limited in really what the insurance companies provide reasonable coverage out here, too, in terms of, you know, reasonable premiums and services to the whole county. That's, I mean, that was an issue
because of the number
of
providers that are out here.
So it's, you know, people are always like, well, why don't they get other bids from other insurance companies? I'm like, because they come in too high. They don't provide.
But these other insurance companies are still going to go back to the same providers that they're dealing with.
Yeah. So it doesn't, you know, work. So we have to have at the September meeting. I will have that budget here. That will need approval because it will be going to Nancy, I believe, like the very next day. So we're kind of continuing to refine it based on recommendations that we're getting from Nancy and the board. But as I said, I think in terms of our carryover money, we'll probably be okay in not having to ask for too much of an increase of anything. I'm hoping that nothing, because there are, you know, obviously there are other departments that have issues as well. So. Like roads.
I was just going to say, that square, I avoid the square. My car can't take it anymore.
You know, I think, you know, I would like to say, though, I think that, you know, I have only been part of this process for a couple of years now, but I think the department heads are very, very good about really trying to make an effort to come together and determine what, you know, who's got what in terms of needs and what's really a priority and who can maybe put something off for another year. And I think we do work really well together trying to, you know, present something to the board that is manageable within terms of what we have. I mean, in some cases, you know, there are things that get thrown in there that we
can't. It helps to have Nancy there because she oversees the whole picture.
Yeah.
She is looking for the benefit of the county, not just any one individual.
Yeah, and Nancy is, for those of you who don't know, is the finance director. She's just been instrumental here. I don't know what I would do without her. I mean, she has, at some points, we had her, you know, living out here a couple of days a week, but she's really been really good about putting her eyes on our budget and helping us get things back in order and looking at our systems.
So for the budget from the state to the county, has that come down? We're getting less?
Our numbers, in terms of our budgets, are staying about the same.
Are staying about the same.
Mm-hmm.
But the shared revenue was the CASFA plan.
Yeah.
I mean, shared revenue is staying about the same other than the utility.
So the funding sources that we get are the ADRC funding, which I don't know what the whole region is, but what I've got written into that about right now is about $528,000. But I said that is with the additional full-time person that we currently don't have, and that's regional. And that has no county levy money in it. And then the rest of our funding comes from the aging side, the Older Americans Act, which is Title III. So we get like about $180,000 towards the nutrition program. We get about $21,000 towards caregiver. We get another $51,000 towards service management. Well, you can see it on your finance reports in terms of revenue. And then the transportation, the DOT programs, and things like that. That's where all our money comes from. So, and I haven't seen anything that where it's been significantly cut. So,
anybody have any questions on any of that?
So you'll see it next month.
Will we see that ahead of time or not?
I can probably get it sent out because my portion for Nancy is done. I wanted her to take a look at a few things on it, so maybe after next week, once she kind of looks at it in terms of the whole county system again, too, then I can send it out ahead of time once I think it's pretty set.
Would everybody like to see that ahead of time? Yes, no, maybe.
Yeah, we'll try to get
it. I'm seeing heads bobbing.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is Nancy really does go over them. And typically the process is once we've got it done, we'll actually sit down one-on-one with Nancy, too, and she'll go through it with us again just to kind of say, you know, this is reasonable, or what do you think about this, or if I've got questions, she's very good about that. So, and then as far as the insurance executive committee did sort of pass possibly doing that, right? So
they already passed it.
Yeah. So whether you see how that benefits.
But the numbers might change.
I know. And that, I mean, that's why I didn't bring the budget today, because the numbers have been kind of fluctuating. Like I said, we were at 1.5 increase, and then I thought, oh, by next week that's going to be zero. So
and
I just put it
that was a comment
zero,
that I
so.
Made the other day when we had a lengthy discussion in one committee. I said, this is preliminary.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get hung up on the numbers, because they are going to change.
Yeah.
And, you know,
since I'm
a lot of departments are coming in consistent with last year. That's all you can do is to start with.
Okay.
That takes care of number 9?
Yep.
All right, on to 10, approval of vouchers. Anybody have any questions on the vouchers?
I don't think we had any.
Nothing out of sorts? Since mine is still sitting in the mailbox.
We got rent. We are paying rent to Orchard Manor quarterly versus one bulk payment in the beginning of the year. So that shows up on here. And that's simply because that aids our ADRC budget a little bit on how we get money drawn down from ADRC, and so it helps us to do it quarterly, so we can change that. Otherwise, we've got basically nutrition. I don't even know if we've got too many vehicle repairs in this one, but honestly, I...
You got a fair amount in that one.
Yeah.
$3,400 to Pink's, I think.
Yeah. It my vehicle repairs have just skyrocketed, but you can't drive them if you don't fix them. So.
That's exactly right. Come out here, we'll all sit here for the day. Was that a nice trip?
My bus driver's told me they like that when the, you know, exhaust is dragging behind their bus. So. Oh.
No questions on the vouchers? If not, I need an approval.
Can you make that motion? Second it. Any further questions? All those in favor say aye. 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 To be honest with you, I haven't hardly looked at this new one. I've been looking at doing projections for ADRC and projections for this year. So I haven't, again, I think we're doing pretty good. We're fairly on track. I've got a few things with the TRIPS program that I'm concerned that if we've got a couple ongoing trips that I think I'm going to pass off to Lyft. We just don't have drivers and.
I was going to ask that question. How many drivers?
Need
of drivers?
We are always in need of volunteer drivers, yes. Yes, we can always use volunteer drivers. And actually, I could potentially be in need of a substitute bus driver at some point, too, or a substitute taxi driver. We're kind of short. Wow, is that the wind?
Yes, yeah.
Well, Rattville was supposed to
have some like
kind
November
of
a, out there, doesn't
was supposed to have some kind of deal where kids 8 to 18 could go out and go up in an airplane or something today. And they said because of the wind, they were canceling
they
that for tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I heard that on the news.
Good training. Yeah. Good training.
So TRIPS was my concern last year because we had more expenses in TRIPS than I felt we should have had. So I'm trying to, you know, we are trying to limit that a little bit, that we aren't going to send drivers. But we did have a dialysis one that fortunately we contracted with last year. Those dialysis ones are kind of hard to give up because obviously they're dependent on it. So, but there are some other extenuating circumstances there. So I think, and we haven't been able to locate a driver in their area. So we are paying more for a driver than
It's not in our immediate.
It's in our Grant County area, but it's just we just don't have a driver, so we're sending a driver there. So I have been in contact with Lyft to see if they can't potentially provide services, and I think we'll be getting that one off. That's really the only significant one that's causing me, that I just think we're paying more than we probably should, but, you know, again, you can't just cut dialysis, you can't cut a trip out as a dialysis patient, you can't just tell them tomorrow, we're not coming back next week, so we have to make sure that they've got some resources in place for that. So.
Steve, where does your hospital people go for dialysis?
Madison.
They do go to Madison.
Madison or La Crosse.
Well, some do go to Platteville. I mean, Platteville is a dialysis point, too.
We're Gunderson, of course, down there. That's still, you can go wherever you want.
Yeah.
Right.
It just kind of depends what's open. You know, we have several that go to Platteville in terms of the county. We have
Richland Center even does it.
Richland Center does it, and Prairie does it. Yeah. Now, we've got, Gunderson is doing radiation now, though, right?
We do radiation now, or we don't do radiation.
Chemo?
We do
chemo.
And radiation.
So
they're working on, so it won't be long. We'll be able to do both.
Radiation would be great because that's an everyday thing, really gets to be a struggle for somebody having to go to do every single day in Madison.
We don't have that before long.
And we have one in Northern Grant that is going to Madison every single day.
Oh, I know.
That's just.
We got some in Boston we go across 5 days a week.
That's a lot.
For about 57 trips.
Yeah.
For about 30 seconds.
Yeah
it's not very long.
Okay, any questions on the financial report? Yeah. Now I need a motion to approve that.
Yeah, sure.
So.
Do I hear a second? Carrie seconds it. Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All same side. All right, on to 12.
I have a very limited director's report because mostly it's aging plan and. Okay. Are these just extra sending or not? It's mostly been budgets and aging plan that we've been dealing with here for the most part. I will be.
Wow.
All right. I know who's going to be crawling under my back. It's not going to be Crystal. Crystal may or may not be here next month since she's having a baby.
Hopefully by then.
I've told her she can't have it early. So.
we'll tell you when you can do this.
I've tried to get her to delay it, but she doesn't seem to want to do it.
I'll make a motion.
I will be on vacation next week. If you have any questions, give Crystal a call, or they won't be able to get in touch with me. But I don't know what my cell phone reception will be like.
Leave it at home.
Yeah, no. Gosh, no. I'm in the mountains. I'm very. They're laughing at me because I'm not afraid to fly at all. I'm afraid to drive through the mountains. They're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. I have no control of the plane. I can't drive the plane.
They got that big forest fire.
I know they got forest. Yeah, that has to throw up a red flag for me, too, is the forest fires. Yeah, I don't like that either. So. Other things that are happening, we do have a project coming up for INA. They're going to be doing the quality improvement project around follow-ups starting September 1st. This is a regional project for ADRC. So that will go September 1st through, I think, November. And then it will probably be implemented after that based on those results. They did get some training yesterday in estate recovery. That was very interesting. I was there as well. Ruth and I are working again with regional directors. We attended the regional nutrition directors training, which was very good. Again, just trying to get more information and improve this. I did have, it's not in my report because I don't know, I'll say it here, I don't know that I want it in writing necessarily, but I did talk to Eckstein's, but given the whole Caspel situation, I don't know where the Eckstein money will be going, but I did talk to them because Caspel is one of our sites that is kind of underperforming in terms of meals. However, we do a fairly decent home delivered out of there, but we don't always have a great number there, and we'd like to increase that. So I did, rather than potentially get rid of that site at some point, I asked the question of whether they might consider sponsoring that site in the future, and was told possibly. So that might be something that we look for. Rather than just asking for money to improve, I think if we could go get specifically, and especially to Cassville, and given maybe the power plant and everything going on, it might be a good timing to say, you know, we'd like to kind of sponsor this site, and if they could cover the costs on that, I think that would be
a good idea.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. It really could, depending on. So,
I have a question on the state recovery thing. You know, back some time ago, when there were a lot of changes coming on in this estate thing, didn't we talk about having somebody come in and talk to us about the estate, the changes? I don't think that ever happened, did
well,
it?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jennifer Wicks, who just provided this training for us yesterday, we've been after her for since the changes were broached. We've not been able to get her. So this was the first chance that we've actually had to get her. They've been they were very hesitant to provide anything at the get-go. And now they're just sort of catching up to all of us. So I can share the information, or if you want something, I have the PowerPoint, and I can share that information. I am no expert on it by any means.
Well, it just seemed like there were a lot of changes.
But I can share the that and see if at some point, I don't know if Marcia is well-versed in it at this point yet or not, because there's still a lot. But I'll be happy to share the PowerPoint and the changes, because the PowerPoint basically goes over the changes that occurred.
Anybody else interested in it?
I can easily share the PowerPoint with you.
How long does that kind of take?
I'm not...
2 hours?
No. I'll literally print out the PowerPoint and give it to you and highlight the changes, and that'll be. But the nice thing is if you have specific questions, it's got on there who you can call. And they do have staff that are available during working hours all the time that people can call and say, we've got this situation, you know, can you tell us? You know, what they won't tell you is maybe an exact amount of how much Medicaid they might recover. You know, because they don't know for sure, but I mean, there's definitely changes with the life estates. There's definitely changes with joint tenants in a house. There's definitely just, you know, and they all are. If you've done this before 2014, you've done this after 2014.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah,
I think that was the thing. I think at one point we had talked about seeing if somebody could help.
Yeah, and I actually wanted Jennifer to come out. We actually wanted to provide a training on it, and she just, her schedule just has not allowed it in the past. She's just still kind of going around updating the agencies right now, so. But she is the one who gave us the PowerPoint, so I'll be happy to share that. And in the future, we would probably like to do, like, a major presentation and have her come out, but.
Okay. Is that good for everybody?
It's interesting.
Anything else on your report?
I think that's pretty much it. Stay tuned for the budget.
Stay tuned for the budget.
Any aging plan revisions that Gore thinks we need to do will be back next month as well.
Anybody have any questions in their cortex that they want to get out? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I guess the only question I had was about
replaced
Linda yet, or how's that process going? Linda Adrian.
Oh, I have not. I have advertised a couple times. I had one person inquire, and I haven't had anybody else. So I am going to advertise it again and expand it probably countywide. I'm not getting anybody from the South. So I actually sent the person out an application and thought I would get it back, and then she didn't know not to be interested, which maybe was a blessing in disguise, according to some people. So
okay.
I don't know.
What did she get? It wasn't your blue truck.
Oh, that surprised actually. That she didn't express any interest there. So yeah. So I will be advertising that again. I really kind of wanted to keep it to the South, but unless anybody knows anyone in the South that might be interested. Because we have the north and the middle kind of represented pretty well. It's kind of the south that I'm stuck on. So. And I'm just.
Did this suggest
anything? No, she did not. So. And I'm not sure that Linda is in very good health right now. I just heard through the grapevine that health isn't the best. So.
Where did everyone get the new nutrition?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Did everybody get one of these reports? Has it been handed out at all?
I don't think so.
We need to make sure.
The other one had a glitch.
Let's send that one over. Last me a hole punch. If you need a hole punch, you need a hole punch.
Punch a hole.
This is
the new one.
That's the new one because the one you got in the mail wasn't correct. She sent it. She was in her getting everything out and like, oh, I think we have a, I think we had a formula on there. So this is the new word. Casco had about 3,000 meals that they had ordered. Which kind of stuck out. So.
Yeah, ask us that. Yeah. All right. Because I have a.
Did you get a motion?
I don't
know.
I did not
get
a
motion. Okay. Sixteenth,
right? Just is the 16th, right?
The budgets are due on the 17th.